The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
For this next item, just be advised, we're going to talk about a sensitive topic. So if you have little ears nearby, you want to turn the radio down ever so slightly, because we're going to talk about this new report today that is being published. It was a report by barrister and NUI Galway lecturer Tom O'Malley, who we'll be speaking to later in the programme, about how we treat sexual crimes in court. The Justice Minister, in response to the report on Breakfast this morning, said every Garda division is going to have a specialised unit for investigating sex crimes by the end of September. It's 2020, and it's only now that we are putting in a specialist unit for investigating sex crimes in every Garda division. Not every Garda station, but every Garda division. 17 of the units are in place, but their full rollout is going to happen now following the publication of this review, which was ordered after the Belfast rape trial. It recommends, amongst other things, that suspects of all sex crimes not be named unless convicted, because at the moment, only someone accused of rape has anonymity at trial. Here's what Helen McEntee said to the lads on News Talk Breakfast earlier about that possible change to the legislation.
We have had situations where people have been accused of sexual offences, later acquitted, but that particular stigma has followed through with them. Mm-hmm. Now, this recommendation is saying that the anonymity would apply to all defendants here in this case. It is a recommendation. It's something that we have to obviously take on board, and I as Minister have to take on board.
Now, I'd imagine people who are listening to this morning who are victims of sexual abuse are saying, hang on a second, here it is, another charter now that's going to protect the perpetrators as opposed to protecting the victims. But that would do this report a disservice, because there's a lot in it and there's good rationale, as the Minister would have explained there, albeit a small minority of cases. Well, I suppose everybody has a right to anonymity if they're being accused of a particularly heinous crime like rape, and now they're extending that out to sexual assault. But there's a lot in this, and we'll talk to Tom O'Malley, as I said, a little bit later about that. But I want to first of all speak to somebody whose name became very familiar, because she was the first person who waived the right to anonymity after going through a trial at the Central Criminal Court. Lavinia Kerwick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm very well. Lavinia, how old were you when the trial happened?
19.
So you were very young. You didn't have any experience of how courts operated. What was it like for you, even before you knew you were going to talk about it, to have to go to that trial and go through the process of that trial?
Well, it's a long and arduous process, as anyone who's been through it knows. It's also a very cold and inhumane experience to go through. It's very isolating, and the lack of kind of information between the victim and the courts that was apparent back then. Like, I don't know what it's like now. I'm not a legal mind or anything like that. But it's a very, very cold and inhumane experience. It's you're very distant. It's you know, there's very little support, and I think back then there was very little knowledge about how to handle rape and rape cases and sexual assault and sexual abuse cases. I suppose in one way, I don't know whether I'm happy to say that there's been a lot of change since the 90s. I'm certainly happy to see parts of Tom O'Malley's report with regard to training for judges and other legal staff and professionals. And to this day, I'd imagine that it's still a cold and inhumane experience to go through a system that I suppose I always believed worked against rape victims.
You were a victim of rape.
And yes.
Your decision to speak out afterwards is what made your name very familiar to people, because you spoke to the late Gerry Ryan on his radio programme. Yeah. And I remember the interview and I remember listening to it. And it was almost the first time that collectively we had heard the other side, that we had heard the rape victim speak out, because the system was almost designed, it was supposed to protect you by keeping you anonymous, but it also inhibited people from understanding the true gravity of what someone like you had gone through. Would that be a fair assessment, Lavinia?
Yeah, no, that is. I suppose it was putting a face to a crime, a heinous crime that caused a huge amount of hurt and shame and I suppose a lot of anger from my side, because you know the last place anyone wants to be is in a court, and the last thing anyone wants to do is give up their anonymity. But at that point, I suppose it is important to put a human side to rape and to see a human face and to be, I suppose, the first one to do that. It was not an easy decision. But I suppose I felt very strongly even back then that I couldn't walk away from the court and let somebody else go through the same system that worked against them. Your anonymity is hugely important to you, but to give it up is a brave and fearful thing to do. And there's huge repercussions to that. You know, there's a lot of siding with other people, and you know, why are you exposing this person? You have to do what's right in that moment in time. And for me, in that moment in time, I couldn't walk away from something that I knew was wrong, and let somebody else go through the same path that I did. So it's always a huge decision, and I always feel when I see people giving up their anonymity outside of court, I always make a point of saying thank you for doing what you're doing, because it's a brave and a thing to do, and nobody should have to live their life being associated with a rape case. But that's inevitably what happens when you do give up your anonymity. You do, you're always associated with it. And I suppose in regard to my case, good came out of it in that we have the victim impact statements, and they're an important aspect of any rape case, especially when there's a guilty plea.
People hear this all the time in court reports and the victim impact statement, and having sat through that type of case, I know exactly how emotional they can be for someone who has to deliver them. Yeah. You didn't even have that opportunity back in 93, did you, to give your version of the story?
No, well, that was always going to be the case. It was always kind of the fallout from the case, I think that... I would have liked to have had the opportunity to hand back my guilt and shame to the convicted rapist. But I suppose myself and Pádraig Flynn and to a certain extent, well, a lot, Gerry Ryan, we talked for the good of people coming behind me, that this was the right thing to do, and this was the agreement that even when the case went back to court the following year, I was still to be a silent witness, and I was, you know,
that,
if anything,
that was the appeal of the suspended sentence, wasn't it?
I was being punished for giving up my anonymity.
Yeah, that was the appeal for the suspended sentence, because you had to go back to court again a second time, and you were still operating within the same system.
That wasn't the appeal. That was to give another judgment. That was
okay.
Completely let him walk free.
Lavinia, you say that dealing with the justice system broke you.
Yeah.
How many years did it take to deal with that trauma in your life? Not just the original trauma of the rape, but that which followed?
I think it's a life, like, you're living in your crime scene. Your body is your crime scene. You're never going to change that. So you're living with your rape forever. Like, it becomes a part of you. Like, you cannot get rid of it, you know, and you acknowledge it. And I suppose for me, doing my counselling, you know, firstly with Clonmel, and then, you know, with the fantastic people up in the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, who have always stepped up to the mark and have always supported me and many, many other women and men. And the realisation that, you know, this was the hurt caused to me. I did not cause my hurt. This is not my guilt to keep. You know, that took a long time to come, I have to be honest, because I dealt with an eating disorder. I dealt with, an awful lot of publicity surrounding the case. And there was an awful lot of kind of blame put on to me for, I suppose, I was ostracised in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a lifelong adjustment. It's a lifelong commitment to keeping yourself well, to knowing that, you know, you have not caused this, you do not want to be in court, you never asked to be raped, you never wanted to be raped, this isn't the life that you wanted, it has been completely derailed. So, I mean, when I think, you know, I saw one part of it now, I know it's a huge, big report, and I saw one part of it where there's training going to be provided. And I think, you know, they ask victims how they experience the system, you know, and take their experience into account. No one's going to learn if you're not willing to listen, you know. And my feeling on it would be that. I mean, it's a lifelong commitment to keeping you on the right side of knowing that. The guilt and shame, it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, and when that kind of dawned on me, I think I was ready to kind of come out and talk, and I don't know if it advocacy or whatever, I was just, I didn't want anyone else to go down the path that I was on for many, many years, that I kept the shame and the guilt and the dirt with me for many years. So, it did take a long time, and it's a continuing battle to kind of maintain a healthy system, you know, a mental health system, because a rape affects every part of you, and it especially affects your mental health, you know. So,
what are the things, Lavinia, one of the things that's being suggested here is that any barrister planning to question a complainant about their sexual history, at the moment they can just do that in cross-examination, which just happens in open court. Under this proposal, they would have to apply to do so at a pre-trial hearing. Is that a welcome move, do you think?
I think it is, yeah, because you're there for a rape case, and anyone's sexual history should not come into the public arena, you know. It's a rape case. Somebody has said that they have been raped. They have gone down the channels of and the bravery of reporting it. It's been brought to court. Your sexual history, what you have or haven't done, it should have no impact on a rape case. Now, I could be wrong, but...
Well, again, it's we hear those reports regularly, and you often have to put yourself in the position of the person who has to answer those questions about other things that happened in their life. the question here about anonymity, and some people have an issue with this, that if, and let's face it, the overwhelming amount of prosecutions are brought against men. In a rape case in this jurisdiction, you have a right to anonymity, and only at such time at conviction, that anonymity is only lifted if the victim isn't identified or identifiable. However, it differed for sexual assault. But they're saying for sexual assault, anonymity should be granted here as well. The main purpose of that being if somebody is accused and is found not guilty or is accused in the wrong, that anonymity is preserved. Given your experience, can you understand why that recommendation is there?
I can, yeah, because, I mean, I'm years away from my case. I can understand that. And, you know, these rape cases, they're standalone cases. They're a serious, serious crime when somebody is accused and found guilty of rape. You know, it's a serious, serious. Like, I cannot tell you how serious rape is. I mean, it's a life derailing crime. It's a, you know, so I can understand it. There's a lot in it. I mean, there's a lot in that report that needs to be kind of talked about by people that would know more about it than what I do. I'm only coming at it from an emotional point of view. I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to hear that it's been talked about. It's been a long time coming. Rape has been a discussion that has needed to happen for many years. Consent has needed to be talked about for many years, people that, you know, are found guilty of rape, you know, they have to be prepared to kind of take the punishment, you know. And if that's your name being put in the paper, my God, after the damage and the destroying of the victim that you're actually doing, is that not the least you could expect to happen?
Lavinia, I have to ask you, how are you now? Because I know you're an incredible advocate on behalf of people who've been through a similar experience to yourself. But I even this morning saying, you know, would we ask Lavinia to comment? I still feel bad asking you to come on. But how are you now?
I'm good. You know, we're all in strange times. I always think of people going through this process in these strange and frightening times, you know, and how lonely they are. I'm good. I'm good. I'm vocal about people's, women's rights. I'm vocal about, you know, the right thing being done for victims, and I'm very vocal about people handing back the guilt and shame to their rapist. I would never want to see people that were going through a trial and been treated as badly as what I was treated by the system. I would never want to go back to those times. And I hope that all this talk now about reports and you know, the Justice Minister saying that they're going to put things in place, and you know, the Minister for Health going to open up the lines of talking about consent. I'd hope it's not just talk. You know, it only took me to change things all those years ago. You know, we're ready now for more change, and it's not before time. You know, and I'm glad to see that these people are taking rape seriously that they're willing to do something about it. I just hope that everyone will follow through, because okay, there is nothing worse than living with your crime and living with your hurt when it's not yours in the first place.
Lavinia Kerwick, thank you for joining us on News Talk.